If you've spent time in Boise, you've likely seen people riding around on green bicycles, whether it's downtown or on the Greenbelt. Boise Green Bike is an urban bicycle share program, similar to many other cities around the country. Boise's bike share program continues to expand, while other bike share programs in places like Dallas, Texas, are folding. So what makes Boise so unique, and why are other cities experiencing problems? Joining me live in studio is Dave Foch, director of Boise Green Bike, and in full disclosure, Dave is also a member of Boise State Public Radio's Community Advisory Board. And Melissa Repko, a staff writer with the Dallas Morning News, is joining us on the phone. Thank you both for coming in and talking today.
Thanks for the invite.
Thank you.
So Dave, I want to start with you. What makes Boise's bike share program so unique?
Well, it's in Boise.
Well, we have that.
It is a public-private partnership in the truest sense of the word. We used a federal grant to acquire most of the assets that you see on the street today. And that required a local match. But our operating budget is all from the fees we charge for rides, membership fees, and sponsorship. So we don't take any public money for the operations side. That makes it pretty unique. It is also unique in the fact that it is run by the Transit Authority, Valley Regional Transit. We're one of only a handful of systems in the entire country that does that.
And Melissa, I want to bring you into the conversation. You wrote an article in your newspaper in Dallas, Texas, about this because and my understanding is that there were three bicycle share programs that opened but folded fairly quickly. And a lot of these are the type that, you know, you can leave the bike, correct?
Yes, we started with five, actually. Last summer, there was a bike share company that was first to roll into town, and it was a dockless bike system that allows you to lock and unlock a bike with your app. And now, after expanding to five companies that were all private and no public funding, three of them have left Dallas.
And Dave, is that part of it, is that ours is not a dockless system? Does that play a factor in it?
Well, it does. We could go dockless if we had to because our bike was actually the first dockless bike made by Social Bicycles. But we prefer that people lock the bike to something, which adds more security. It keeps the bikes from being thrown in the river or put up a tree, that sort of thing.
Well, and I noticed, and Dave and Melissa, this wasn't just in Dallas. I was in Scottsdale in June and noticed just some bicycles on a sidewalk. They were there for a couple of days, part of a bike share program, you could tell, and they had just been left there. And Melissa, was that what was going on in Dallas as well, is when you have this dockless system, and maybe a private system as well, that people just, you know, they're done, they leave them and they go do whatever they're doing next?
Yes, it's been really a mixed reaction in Dallas. On the one hand, the dockless bikes make it possible for you to get a bike and leave it wherever it's convenient for you. So if you're riding to a restaurant, that might be a little easier than finding a place where a bike is hooked up to a station. On the other hand, some people really saw them as litter, and in some cases they did become litter when they were dumped in lakes or they ended up sprawled on sidewalks, sometimes just because the wind blew them over. So they were a pretty hot topic here and sometimes a very polarizing one.
I'm speaking with Melissa Repko of the Dallas Morning News and Dave Foch, director of Boise Green Bike. And Dave is also a member of BSPR's Community Advisory Board. We're talking about bike share programs, what's working, what's not. And Dave, I mean, is part of it, too, in the Treasure Valley is that we have a truly outdoor community and we have a bicycle friendly community. I know we can always do better, but there is that culture in place.
It is. And if I had a dollar for every time someone said to me, "We love your program, but I have my own bike," well, I'd have a lot more bikes. But yeah, we're a very outdoor community. I think that's part of what makes us successful. And given the fact that we only have 127 bikes, we've seen an incredible number of rides. So, thank you, Boise, for supporting Boise Green Bike.
So, Melissa, in Dallas, now that three have folded, I'm assuming two are remaining, what is the system like now? Is it better?
It's definitely in a period of flux. So the city passed new rules that has, in some ways, led to fewer bikes on the street. But the companies are private companies, and they're trying to make money. And so they've been declining in number over time to try to get more usage on the bikes that they do have out and about and try to respond to the backlash of having bikes all throughout the city in all different kinds of places, sometimes in the way. So at this point, two bike companies are planning to stay in town. Both of them are dockless, and they are definitely fewer in number because they are facing new competition from scooter share companies that have recently come to town. So it's still kind of an experimental phase, but the market's sort of shaking out over time.
Melissa, was Dallas known as a bicycle-friendly community before all of these, you know, bike companies came into town?
No, I would say most people you ask would say Dallas is a very car-centric place, and people do not use public transportation quite as much. And a lot of these dockless bike companies have had a lot of success in places where people use public transit, and then maybe for the last mile, they need to go on a bike or a scooter to get to the restaurant or get to work. And so in Dallas, there are some specific challenges, including that the city is very car-centric, but also we have really sweltering heat in the summer. And so the decline of bikes in the city has corresponded with the weather. And it's unclear whether there will be more bikes put out by these companies come fall when the weather is a little bit more tolerable for biking.
And Dave, that is something that even in Boise, I mean, it's hot. I mean, it was 107 or whatever it was last week.
It's true.
But we're lucky enough that it cools down in the morning, it cools down in the evening, we have a dry heat. Those things make a difference. But beyond that, I mean, we drive cars here.
We do.
But we have made a place for different modes of transportation.
Yeah, and much of the credit for that goes to the Ada County Highway District, who has made a concerted effort to improve the infrastructure for bikes. And that's part of the reason that we have been successful in Boise, and also part of the reason that we haven't expanded beyond Boise, besides not having the money to do so. Because as you get further from the center of town, the bike infrastructure isn't as good in a community like Meridian mm-hmm. or Eagle or Star, Cuna. It's just not as easy or as safe to ride a bike. So this is where we started the program, because we knew that we had the infrastructure in place already, and it's only getting better.
And has there been interest from other companies, like private companies, wanting to come in? Because if they're seeing success, people always want a piece of that pie.
Absolutely. And the one company that has shown the most interest is Lime, formerly known as Lime Bike. And they are interested in being in business in Boise, even though they are saying that they want a regional system. Let's be honest. They're not going to make much money in Meridian. They're not going to make much money in Nampa or Cuna, any of those places. They look at the infrastructure we have in downtown Boise, the things that help to make our program successful, all of the people who live, work, and visit downtown, the 24,000 students at Boise State, the 5,000 faculty and staff at Boise State. That's the audience they want. That's the audience that we serve currently. So we're a little concerned about that.
And Melissa, through your reporting and what Dave said about Boise, do you think there was enough research done by these companies when it comes to moving into a community like Dallas versus coming into a community like Boise?
I think it's a complicated question because these companies are still so young that they're still trying to figure out their own business model and how to make money off of $1 or $2 bike rides. And so some of it is just experimentation on their behalf. And initially, they had flooded the market to try to make it possible for people to find a bike anywhere they go. And so that led to a ton of bikes. And so some of the challenges are coming on the business side because they are private companies. And other challenges are potentially the weather, but also the fact that Dallas has a lot of people who use cars and does not have a ton of bike lanes at this point. So it's kind of a chicken and egg.
Mm-hmm. And Dave, Boise's not unique in the sense that this is working in other communities. It seems to be working well in Boise, but other communities are having success.
There are. And you mentioned that you were down in the Phoenix area, mm-hmm. Scottsdale. There's a system very similar to ours down there. It uses the same bikes. And they had to respond to the invasion of these dockless bike share companies. And initially, because those companies came in and offered free rides, they saw their ridership decline. But over time, they've been able to regain their ridership. They were forced to go dockless as well, and we're prepared to do that if we must, but we still think that our model is better because it adds predictability to where you will find bikes and where you should leave them, and it also prevents the bikes from being thrown in the river.
Because you know that's what would happen.
Well,
I mean, let's be honest.
It's happened before.
I was going to say, it would happen. Well, I want to thank both of you for coming in and talking about this issue. My guests today, Melissa Repko, she's a staff writer with the Dallas Morning News, and Dave Foch, director of Boise Green Bike and a member of BSPR's Community Advisory Board. Thank you both for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thank you.